From Spark and Anvil and Gambit Tales, this is Merle the Gleaner in Chapter 1 of the Gambit Tales cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
At the low end of the Slow Lake, past the last of the barns, there was an orchard that everyone had agreed to stop worrying about. It was too small to bother the pickers and too far to bother the market. So when the harvest carts rolled through in autumn, they took the easy rows and left the rest. And the rest was where you found Merle. Merle was a hen, a plain brown hen with a plainer walk. And she did the least glamorous job in the whole valley. She gleaned. After the pickers had gone home with their tall baskets, Merle went out into the trampled grass and gathered what they had left behind. The apple that had rolled under the hedge, the pear that had dropped a day too early, the handful of grain that had slipped through a hole in a sack. Nobody had guarded these things. Nobody was coming back for them. So Merle took them, one by one, and she was never once told off, because you cannot steal a thing that no one is keeping. She had noticed, over many autumns of this, that the orchard was full of forgotten things, and that the forgotten things had a particular look to them. A guarded apple, high in the tree, had a farmer's ladder leaning under it, and a dog dozing at the trunk. But a fallen apple in the wet grass had nothing at all around it. No ladder, no dog, no one. Merle could tell the two apart at a glance, the way you can tell a sleeping house from an empty one. And she had never put the difference into words. She simply walked the rows at dusk and picked up whatever had been left alone. It would take a duckling, in the end, to give it a name.
One gray morning, a duckling named Pip followed Merle into the orchard because he had nothing better to do. He watched her walk straight past a whole tree loaded with apples, ignored it entirely, and then stop at a single bruised pear lying by itself near the fence. "Why that one?" Pip asked. "There's 100 better ones up there." "Those are looked after," said Merle, tucking the pear under her wing. "The farmer wants those. There's a fence and a dog and a boy who counts them. And this one?" "Nobody's watching this one," said Merle. "Nobody's coming for it, so it comes home with me." Pip frowned at the pear. He was young, and to him, a pear was a pear. "But it's just sitting there." "That," said Merle, "is exactly the point. A thing that nobody is guarding isn't a prize. It's just there for the taking. You don't need a plan for it. You don't need to be clever. You only need to see it. And most everyone is too busy staring up at the guarded apples to look down at the one in the grass." Pip looked down at the one in the grass. Then he looked up at the guarded tree and back down again, and something clicked into place behind his small eyes. "It's hanging," he said. "That pear's just hanging there with nobody holding it." Merle stopped walking. She turned the word over. She had gathered 1,000 fallen things and never once called them that. "Hanging," she said. "Yes, that's the word. It hangs there with nothing underneath it, waiting for whoever bothers to look."
3 autumns later, a chunky, cheerful rook in a brass buttoned waistcoat walked into the orchard at dusk, which was not a thing that happened. He introduced himself as Captain Castle. He said he ran an academy where children learned a game played on 64 squares, and he said the children were very good at spotting the clever tricks, the traps, the ambushes, the sacrifices, but that they kept losing games in the plainest way of all. "They stare so hard at the clever moves," said Captain Castle, "that they walk straight past a piece the other player simply forgot to guard. They leave free things sitting in the grass. And I have been looking, for some time now, for someone who is very good at seeing what has been left alone." Merle finished tucking a windfall apple under her wing. She was not a bird who was easily flustered, and she was not flustered now. "I have spent my whole life," she said, "picking up what everyone else walked past. I suppose I could teach a child to do the same."
The chessboard, Merle found, was only an orchard with straighter rows.
She met her first class on a wet Tuesday. Captain Castle set a position on the board and stepped back, and the children immediately began hunting for something brilliant. A fork, a pin, a grand two-move net. They leaned and squinted and argued. Merle let them hunt for a while. Then she walked to the board, slow as ever, and pointed one wing at a lone black bishop sitting out on the edge of things. "Consider this bishop," she said. "Whose job is it to protect it?" The children looked. They traced the lines, they checked the pawns, the knights, the squares nearby. "Nobody's," said a small fox in a green scarf, sounding almost disappointed. "There's nothing guarding it. It's just out there on its own." "Then take it," said Merle. "But isn't that too easy? Shouldn't there be a trick, a catch?" "There is no catch," said Merle, gently. "That is the whole lesson. A piece that no one is guarding is not a puzzle. It is a fallen apple in the grass. You do not need to be clever to pick it up. You need only to look down while everyone else is looking up." She reached out and very simply took the bishop off the board. One move, no sacrifice, no cleverness. It was hanging there the whole time, waiting for someone to notice. The fox in the green scarf wrote, "Look down while everyone else looks up," in her notebook, and underlined it twice. Captain Castle, watching from the corner, smiled into his brass buttons.
She still walks the rows slowly. She still tucks things under her wing. But when the lessons are over and the children have gone home, Merle stays behind a little while, and she walks the folded board the way she walks the orchard at dusk, checking, always checking, for the thing that has been left alone. Sometimes the fox with the notebook stays too, sitting cross-legged on the floor, and she asks, "Why this one, Merle? Why the plainest move of all?" And Merle will settle her feathers and consider and say, "The clever moves are wonderful, and you should learn every one of them. But do not let them make you proud. Before you go hunting for something brilliant, look down at the grass. Half the time, someone has already left the prize out where anyone could reach it. And the only skill you need is the plain, patient habit of noticing what everyone else forgot." The fox writes it down. Merle glances at the little notebook and feels, in a way she would never say aloud, the same quiet fullness she feels walking home at dusk with her wings heavy and warm. She closes the board. She goes home.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Merle the Gleaner. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.